It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 35. We're going to begin reading with the 10th verse, and so please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 35, verse 10. While you're doing that, while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now. We sure don't take a long time in announcements or anything. We get right to the study. That's what's so important. Exodus chapter 35, beginning to read with verse 10. And every wise-hearted among you shall come, and make all that the Lord hath commanded, the tabernacle, his tent, and his covering, his tacks, his boards, his bars, his pillars, and his sockets, the ark, and the staves thereof, with the mercy seat, and the veil of the covering, the table, and his staves, and all his vessels, and the showbread, the candlestick also for the light, and his furniture, and his lamp with oil for the light, and the incense altar, and his staves, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the doors at the entering in of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with its brazen grate, his staves, and all his vessels, the laver and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars and their sockets, and the hangings for the door of the court, the pins of the tabernacle and the pins of the court and their cords, the cloths for service to do service in the holy place, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons to minister in the priest's office. All the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and skin, red skins of rams and badger skin brought them. Every one that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. Every man with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both blue and purple and of scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in the wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Now we're going to end the reading there. We'll probably get into the last section to finish up the chapter, but I want to just stop there and we'll begin with prayer. Father, I thank and praise you that we can come and enjoy this time. Please that you will open our eyes and our hearts to your way and will. Forgive us, dear Lord, as we sin and don't walk and don't do the things that's proper to you, dear Lord. Please that you forgive us. And I know, dear Lord, that that doesn't mean that a person loses their salvation, but it does mean that we lose fellowship with you. So please, dear Lord, that you will take our hearts and our lives and as believers and make you please you and honor you and praise you. And I ask, dear Father, those that do not know you as their Savior, that are not believers, please, that they will come today. Today is the day of salvation, so please, that they come and trust in you today, in you, Lord Jesus. That's the reason it's a personal relationship, because it's about a person, and that person is none other than you, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for this study. Now please guide and lead us, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we looked at these verses of Scripture, and there's quite a length of them here. We'll just take our time now and enjoy the study as we look through this list. And if you have not been with us before, why, we kind of started in the middle there a little bit. You may have noticed what we're looking at is the study of the tabernacle. And God has given this plan unto Moses as well with the Ten Commandments. Most people don't realize that the Ten Commandments and the plans to the tabernacle were given at the same time. Any time that there is judgment present, there is also grace present. And that's what we have here in this tabernacle, and so in this building. And you will clearly see that as we continue to study and look through these verses of Scripture. Thing that I enjoy the most in this section here, in this 35th chapter, is the willing heart. I'm sure that I will miss a few, but as we look back in the 5th verse, it says, with a willing heart. In the 10th verse, it's every wise-hearted. As we come down and look through these Scripture verses, we come down to the 21st verse, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit was made willing. And then 22, as we're willing-hearted. And we come down to 25, and 25 says, wise-hearted. 26, whose heart stirred. The 29, whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work. It's just a wonderful Scripture verses, and I'm afraid that that seems to be the problem in today's church, because everything is set upon your emotions, not from a heart, not from your heart. Your heart is, you know, you think of your heart being a place of a seat of emotions. But there's a difference between something from the world, music, for instance, a very charismatic speaker, someone like that, that gets to where you begin to tap your foot and you begin to get excited. You know, I just dearly love the old hymns. And I, you know, praise the Lord for them. We have held with the old hymns. We still, different than most, today we still have the hymn book. I like to open up the hymn book and sing that old hymn. We're not much on choruses. Choruses seem like, particularly the ones that are of repetition, that just go over and over and over again with the same words. That's not stirring the heart. That's not letting the Holy Spirit stir the heart. That's man stirring the heart. And I don't desire that. We don't desire that. We need to be stirred by the Holy Spirit. And we need to see that God does the stirring, and it's not us doing the stirring. I hope that you understand that. I hope that you see what I'm speaking about here. And when it says wise-hearted, you know, that is God-driven. That's Spirit-driven, not man-driven by some activity or some very, again, charismatic speaker. You know, we are to be moved by the Spirit. That's the only time that it is of value, is when the Spirit of God moves us, whether we're singing a hymn, listening to the Word of God preached, in service to Him. Whatever we're doing always should be a moving, a stirring of the Holy Spirit. Now, once again, we have here, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. Now, we're going to talk about a lot of things here. Talking about giving financially. We're talking about giving of time. We're talking about giving of talents. All are of great need today within the local church. And so I hope as we look through this that you see that you should be doing something. Maybe you're not as active as you can be. Says, well, I'm working so many hours and there just is not one extra dollar to go any further. I just going to ask you to kind of set your priorities and take a look at your time. Most folks that I know don't account very well for their time. Their time is spent doing things other than things that are pleasing unto the Lord. And so, you know your time, you know your schedule, you know whether it's that you like the beat of some song, or you like to go, drive halfway across the country to hear some singer sing or some person speak. And is those things of God? Is it a preacher? Is it the beautiful old music that you hear that stirs your heart and desires to get to work? Or again, is it something that kind of gets to your foot before it ever gets to your heart? And so I just want you to think about it a little bit, because it's so important in our service to the Lord that it's real, that it's not man-made, but it's God-driven. Wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. Now, we've been through this list before, and we'll continue to go through it from time to time. But let's look at the list here that we have. Again, every wise-hearted among you. I want you to see that it's God-driven. To begin with, it starts with the tabernacle. Verse 11, the tabernacle, his tent and his covering, his tacks and his boards and his bars, his pillars, his sockets. This very quickly here, just kind of summarize this, the building. You think of the tabernacle, and the rest of it we're talking about the furniture, and then another verse down the line here we'll speak of the coverings that go on the top of this tabernacle. But as we look at the building itself, the tent itself, the size of it isn't as big as most people think. It is 45 feet by 15 feet. The first room is 30 feet long, 15 foot wide, 15 foot tall. The second room is 15 by 15 by 15. It's just a cube. And so as we look at this building now, this tent, there is much to be made in the process of putting everything together. And so we have here the coverings, which is listed a little bit later here, and I can probably find that verse of Scripture here. Yes, it's verse 23, if you'd like to look over to that verse of Scripture. The blue and the purple and the scarlet and the fine linen, goat's hair, red skins of rams, and badger skin. That's the covering. Linen, goat's hair, red skins of rams and badger skins. That's what's going to cover this, that's going to make the tent itself. But then what holds the side walls up to 15 feet is these boards. These boards are acacia wood overlaid with gold. And we find then there is the tacks, and there are all kinds of things here. That the sockets are of silver. Remember, this silver stands for the blood of Jesus Christ. This whole building sits upon a foundation of silver. And so here in this 11th verse, it talks about the sockets, these silver sockets, and the boards that sit in, the bars that hold it together, the pillars, everything that makes this come together. And then we go, first of all, to the ark in verse 12. The ark and the staves thereof, with the mercy seat and with the veil of the covering. As we look at this ark and the Ark of the Covenant, it would be a place of judgment, a piece of furniture that would be nothing but judgment, because inside that are the Ten Commandments. But because there is this mercy seat above, and again, it is solid gold. There's no wood in it. It's solid gold. Now, with that, if it not be for the sprinkling of the blood upon that before the high priest would come in on the Day of Atonement, it would still be a place of judgment. So the only thing that makes this truly a mercy seat is the blood that covers this mercy seat, this bar, this solid bar of gold. table. A table and staves. You know, the staves are also here with the Ark of the Covenant, because as we look at the Ark, why, then we see this this pulled together, and as we look together at the way that they move this, because, see, this isn't a stationary building. This building is torn down, moved to another location, and put back up again, and then when they move again, it's torn down, and so it's an ongoing process. So by doing that, they have to make it movable. Well, each thing then has these staves, these poles that go through the rings, and then they bear it up and carry it. We have the Ark of the Covenant that way. The table is that way, and his staves, all the vessels, and the showbread. You see, that's the purpose of this table. It is not it does not have chairs. It is just strictly a table. The showbread is on it. You know, when you're inside, when you're in this tabernacle, we have the Ark of the Covenant is in the Holy of Holies, this 15 by 15 room. Then we have the veil, the covering, it spoke of that here, that divides it. Then we come into the larger room, which is first. And in there we have the table, and then 14 is the candlestick, and then 15 is the incense altar. Now, I have just circled those pieces of furniture so that they're easy to see. And again, 13 is a table, 14 is this candlestick, and 15 is the incense altar. That's all the furniture that's in this 15 by 30 room. And we know that the candlestick and its light and its furniture and its lamp for the oil for the light, you know, the oil, of course, stands for the Holy Spirit. The lamp, lampstand, candlestick is pure gold. Anytime we have pure gold, it stands for the Lord Jesus. It stands for God. And, you know, with the boards that surround the outside of this tabernacle, I hope that you can kind of see that. It comes off the corner, down the side, and then across the back for this 45 by 15-foot building tent. And that those boards is wood, acacia wood, overlaid with gold, speaking of the humanity and the deity of God, of the Lord Jesus. Here, he is 100% God. And the only way that we can, and always, he is 100% man. He's 100% God. Always, as we look at this lampstand, it is the only light. We have dealt with this before. It's the only light that's within the tabernacle. There is no outside light. The only way that we can see God the Father, the only way we can please him, the only way we can honor him, the only way we can have our sins forgiven, is by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. That's the only way that we can do it. And so, you see, we've got to have the light. We've got to have the light to know the Father. There is no other way. It has got to be. And these people that come up with all these programs and all these different ways and says, oh, we're all working for the same thing. No, we're not. No, we're not. We're not working for the same thing, because my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the God of this Bible. This Bible, from cover to cover, I believe every word. I don't believe that I'm inspired, that there's just spots that are inspired and I'm inspired to pick the spots out. I don't believe that. The Word of God. I am not God. I can't play with His Word. His Word is real. His Word is alive. And if you want to really bring it literal, you look at John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This whole book is speaking of a person, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And so I want you to see that. I want you to know that. I want you to follow after the Lord Jesus. And so this candlestick, now, that there's only one light in there. And you've got to see that. Don't try to figure it out yourself. Just come by faith to Jesus Christ and be saved. Believe in Him. And He will come in and live within your heart with the person of the Holy Spirit. So please let that take place. In this room, this 30 by 15 room, is the table. Again, it has the staves. They're showbread on there. That's the purpose. You come in, you'll be able to feed, and that showbread, it speaks of feeding upon the Word. It's a beautiful picture. The candlestick, again, with the light, with the oil and trimming of the wicks and all those things, clearly speaks of the Lord Jesus, how that He brings light into us if we'll come to the Lord Jesus. And then this incense altar is also known as a prayer altar. And so you'll notice that each time the candlestick did not, but the incense altar and the table both have they have the staves to carry it. And so now as you come in, you come through the room, and you find that inside this first room, this 30 by 15, is the first you come on one side's the candlestick and the other side's the table, and straight ahead's the incense altar. Beyond the veil is the Ark of the Covenant. That's the items that we've looked at so far. And so kind of get that in your mind. Then we have the sweet incense and the hanging of the for the doors in verse 15, the end of verse 15, at the entering in of the tabernacle. So you see, we come from the outside, you have the hangings, you come in. And again, there is no outside light inside this tabernacle. It's just the light of the lampstand. And then you have the veil dividing the holy place and the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant is. Now we're going to back up and we're going to go all the way into the courtyard. And there are two things in the courtyard. The very first thing as you come in to the courtyard is the altar of burnt offering, with his brazen grate, again his staves, and all his vessels. And then we have the laver and his foot. There is two parts to this laver. One is a bowl above and one is a bowl below. One is for washing the feet, the other is for washing of your hands. And so now we find, at this time now, we have all the furnishings. We have looked at the furnishings in the tabernacle. So you come into the courtyard, you run right into the brazen altar. Next is the brazen laver. Next you walk into the holy place, which has the lampstand, table of showbread, incense altar. Go beyond through the veil, and we find the Ark of the Covenant. Now that's, and we've talked a little bit about the hangings, a little bit about the veil. Now we come to verse 17. The hangings of the court, his pillars and their sockets, and the hangings for the door of the court, the pins of the tabernacle and the pins of the court and their cords, the cloths for service. And so let's stop now at just verse 17 and verse 18, because what we're looking at there and what we're seeing there is the bringing together of the court. Now, we said that you come into the courtyard, and then you go on into the tabernacle. So kind of picture this courtyard. You know, again, you have a gate, you have an opening, and you come in, and the first thing you come into is that brazen altar, and then the next you come to the laver. Well, it is 7.5 feet tall, and it encircles the tabernacle. And this tabernacle then sits towards the back of this courtyard. And so kind of I hope that helps. But you've got the pins and the cords and the sockets and all those things that bring it all together. Now in verse 19, we are looking at the clothes. The clothes of service. To do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments for his sons to minister in the priest's office, and all the congregation of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. So, as we look at these last few verses of Scripture that we've just been through, I want you to see very carefully that he just immediately says, okay, you wise-hearted people, you folks that love the Lord, that are ready to get to work, here is the work that we have set before us. And he very quickly just laid it all back out again, all the work that was to be done. And oh, there was a lot of work to do. And you know what? We got a lot of work today to do. There is so much work to be done, and there is so little time to do it in, and there is very few workers. There are few that are really serious about this harvest that we're in the process of, and we need to get serious about it. It's so easy to get involved with the activities of the world and activities at home and activities at work and all those things. And much of it's necessary, but it all has to have its proper place. And the proper place, the first thing we need to do is be busy about sharing the gospel and telling folks how to be saved. And once they have been saved, then the next responsibility we have, and that is to come and to share the Word of God with these folks that have been saved. They are babies. They need to be led prayerfully and carefully. They need to be fed God's Word in milk, a very small, slow process. If they're, real, real young or real, real old, it doesn't matter. They still need the feeding. And we need to see that the feeding that we give them is proper feeding. And so I'm very careful when folks are saved, when they come by faith to the Lord Jesus, that I give them the Word of God, and it is clear, it is simple, it is for them to come and to understand and to grow. I don't want a lot of different people talking to them. I don't want a lot of different preachers. I don't send them to a lot of places. I'm very careful in bringing them to the Word of God because I want them to be strong and I want them to grow. And so please that you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, something that you've probably never seen to this point. Maybe as we look at this tabernacle, kind of start with me and go from the brazen altar to the brazen laver. We're going straight forwards, and then we cross through this incense altar, and then the final is the Ark of the Covenant. That's a straight line. Now let's back up, because at the incense altar, to the right and to the left, one side is the lampstand, the other side is the table of showbread. Now, you think about that picture. Starts at the brazen altar on the outside, which stands for the cross of Calvary. The laver is the washing of the Word of God. Table of showbread is the feeding of the Word of God. The lampstand is the light of the Lord Jesus. The incense altar is our prayer altar, our fellowship altar, our place where we come and visit and fellowship with the Lord. And then, of course, the Ark of the Covenant is where we really meet God, because that's where the blood is presented. Now again, back up, starting at the incense, brazen altar, brazen laver, on forwards the incense altar, on forwards to the through the veil to the Ark of the Covenant. Back up to the incense altar and go to the right and to the left. Now, if you would draw a line through that, you have a line straight up and down, and you have a line across. Do you see that picture? It's the cross. What a beautiful, beautiful picture, because this tabernacle is a gorgeous, wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross that He bought us on, that He paid for us. And so here is the work that needs to be done. Every wise-hearted among you, we have the down in verse 21, the every one whose heart stirred him up, every one whom his spirit made willing, verse 22, as were willing hearted, and we'll begin in that area there, because we have just read through the clothes and the courtyard and the clothes of service that Aaron and his sons will wear. Then we find in verse 20, and that's where we stopped reading this last time, all the congregation of Israel departed from the presence of the Lord, and they came, every one whose heart stirred him up. They listened. They were told there's work to do. They went home, grabbed their tools, grabbed their silver and their gold and all the things that was needed for this, and they brought it back, and they were immediately ready for the job. They were ready for work. Oh, what a wonderful day when you preach the Word of God and somebody comes up and says, I want to work. I want to do something. And so it's just exciting, my friend, to look today and see folks wanting to serve the Lord, too often they're so occupied with everything of their own that they don't see the need to serve. I hope you do. I hope you're saved. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?